الحمد لله رب العالمين، حمد عباده الذاكرين الشاكرين، حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافئ مزيده، وصلى اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وارض اللهم عن جميع الصحابة والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. ربنا لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وفقها في الدين يا رب العالمين. إن شاء الله we continue in our study of the life of the lives of the Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the life that was filled with lessons and with opportunity for those behind them, for those after them, to learn from what they went through and the lessons that they took from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we started with Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, and we went on to study the life of Umar ibn Khattab, and alhamdulillah we finished the life of Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu. And it's noteworthy to say, and it's important to say, that during those brief sessions that we do of these Sahaba, we are really not covering all the aspects of their lives or all the incidents or all the lessons that can be obtained of their life. And it's just a start for us to go on and trying to learn some of the things that they left behind for us to learn. Today, inshallah, we start the life of the fourth Khalifa after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we start the life learning about the life of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu, karamallahu wajha. Who is Ali ibn Abi Talib? He's Ali, son of Abu Talib, son of Abd al-Muttalib, who is the grandfather of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which makes him the first cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he also is a son of Fatima bint Asad, who is also from the people of Hashim, who is a cousin of Abu Talib herself. That makes Ali ibn Abi Talib Hashimi, from the clan of Hashim, from both parents, from both his father's side and his mother's side. And he was the first Hashimi to become a Khalifa. He was the first person from the people of Hashim to take the position of the successor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His father Abu Talib was well known of his protection of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after his grandfather Abd al-Muttalib passed, he went on and he was given his custody given to the uncle Abu Talib. So he was raised in the house of Abu Talib, the same house that Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu was born at. So this is as much closeness that he had to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, this relationship between Ali ibn Abi Talib and the Prophet was actually more strong than that. Abu Talib was a man of honor, was one of the elite, honorable people of Quraysh, but he was not a wealthy man. So when people realized that Abu Talib, who had four sons, he had Talib, we don't know much actually about the life of Talib, and there is no accounts whether he became a Muslim or not. Then the second son of Abu Talib was Aqil. Aqil ibn Abi Talib, who also became a Muslim, and he became a Muslim later in his life, after, people said, after the battle of Badr, radiallahu anhu. Then Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, and we studied the life of Ja'far ibn Abi Talib. He was one of the first people to migrate to Al-Habasha. And then he came from Al-Habasha at the time of Khaybar, and then he was martyred in the battle of Mu'ta. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, "I saw him with wings flying in heaven," and he is known in Islamic history as Ja'far al-Tayyar. And the fourth son of Abu Talib was Ali ibn Abi Talib. And people realize that Abu Talib has many children. He also has two daughters. Umm Hanim is one of them, and she is a Sahabiyya. And they said that he has too many children, and he is a poor man. He's not a wealthy man. And each one of his relatives came and took one of his children in custody. So Al-Abbas ibn Abd al-Muttalib took Ja'far, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took Ali ibn Abi Talib. So Ali ibn Abi Talib was raised in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that was before Ba'tha. And at the time of Ba'tha, Ali ibn Abi Talib says بعث الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم الاثنين. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم was given the risala on Monday. We know that on the night of Al-Qadr. And he said, وَأَسْلَمْتُ يَوْمَ الثُّلَاثَاءِ. And I became a Muslim on Tuesday. So, and then he said, I was the third to be a Muslim after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Khadija radiallahu anha. So Ali ibn Abi Talib became a Muslim in his childhood, and he, according to most scholars' accounts, he was either 8 or 10 years old. So he was in his early childhood. And to his Islam, there's a beautiful story that he walked into the room of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he found him in worship with Khadija, who became the first Muslim. And he said, ماذا تصنع؟ What are you doing? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we are worshipping Allah as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent me with his message to mankind. So he said, Ya Ali, I invite you to become with us, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with us. So Ali, the 10 years old, said, this is something I did not learn in the house of my father. I don't know about this. This is something new. So let me go ask my father. This is a normal response for an 8 or 9 year old. Said, let me ask my dad what he wants me to do. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not ask me to reveal this. This was the period of al-da'wah, where al-da'wah was a secret yet. It was not revealed to anyone. So he said, Ya Ali, aslim aw iktum. Either become a Muslim or keep that as a secret. So Ali ibn Abi Talib said, well, let me think about it to the next day. So the next day he comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Uslim wa aktum. I will become a Muslim and I will keep this a secret among you. And this is one of the stories that was narrated about the Islam of Ali ibn Abi Talib. And there is no really conflict that Ali ibn Abi Talib, there is no conflict among scholars that he was one of the early Muslims. He was the first child that to embrace Islam in history of this da'wah. Ali ibn Abi Talib is one of the 10 that are given the glad tiding of Al-Jannah, the glad tiding of paradise, and was given that from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is one of the honors of Ali ibn Abi Talib, and we will inshallah go over those honors. He had a nickname, and one of his nicknames was Abul Hasan. He was called as Abul Hasan, and because his first child, who is also the child of Fatima, and one of the honors that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him Fatima in marriage, we'll talk about that inshallah. And his nickname is Abu al-Hasan, as he is the father of al-Hasan, his first child from Fatima radiallahu anha. Another title that Ali ibn Abi Talib was known of is Abu Turab. And this is not one of the very famous titles that he's known of, but that was one of the most beloved names that Ali ibn Abi Talib loved to be called with. The reason is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him Abu Turab. Now Turab in Arabic means dust or soil. It's the stuff that you see on the ground. And one time the reason he was given this honor is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the house of Fatima and Ali, and he wanted to talk to Ali. And he knocks on the door and Fatima comes out and he asks, where is your husband? Where is Ali? And she said, well, he's upset with me and he went to the masjid. Now the house of Ali ibn Abi Talib and Fatima, just like any other house, they had domestic conflicts, they had arguments, and they're just normal human beings. So Fatima said, Ali got angry and he went to the masjid. So the Prophet didn't ask why. He just wanted to make sure that they have peace in their house. So he said, well, he went to the masjid to see Ali ibn Abi Talib. And he saw him sleeping in a corner of the masjid. And the masjid, we know, did not have carpets or rugs that we have today. It was just a sandy floor. So Ali ibn Abi Talib was asleep, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam woke him up. And he said, ijlis, ijlis. And he, when he sat up, his back was full with dust. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam starting cleaning the dust away from him, said, Ijlis Aba Turab. Ijlis, the one with the dust. And that was the title that Ali loved the most, is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him, was jokingly with him, trying to smooth things out, subhanAllah, between him and Fatima. And the third title that is known in history of Ali ibn Abi Talib is Haydar. The word Haydar in Arabic means lion, means the heart. And that was, he was called Haydar by his mother, Fatima bint Asad, and he was known with his braveness and courage. So he was called that as also a sign of his courage and his strength, radiallahu anhu. Also, when we mention the name of Ali ibn Abi Talib, it's probably noticeable in Islamic history that when we say radiallahu anhu, we also say karramallahu wajha, may Allah honor his face. And that is one of the signs, because his face, although he became a Muslim in the time of Jahiliyyah, in the time of ignorance when people worshipped idols, but he became a Muslim without worshipping any idols ever in his entire life, and his face never supplicated to idol or any god but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored his face with that, and that's when we say karramallahu wajha. The scholars is of Islam, when they mentioned him, they would say karramallahu wajha, the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored his face. One of the things that Ali ibn Abi Talib, his life with the Prophet in the Prophethood house, in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would go where the Prophet goes, and he would be with the Prophet as somebody who was raised in his house. So his knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was vast and enormous, and he knew a lot of details of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And some of the things that he got from the Prophet ﷺ is the wisdom. And we know that Ali ibn Abi Talib was well known in Islamic history for his wisdom. And many of his words that he would say, the words became proverbs in Arabic, became words saying that are very famous, that went on into history. And we will study, inshallah, some of that. The other thing is he knew justice from the Prophet ﷺ, and he was, as Umar ibn Khattab said, Aqdana Ali, the better judge, best judge among us is Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. During his life as a Muslim in Al-Mecca, he went through what every Muslim went through the suffering and the persecution of the people of Quraysh. And he was a young person, but the example of his dedication to the religion of Islam and his sincerity with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevailed and became very obvious on the day of Al-Hijrah. As we know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given the permission for Hijrah, and he was asked to prepare for the Hijrah, and Quraysh at the same time was plotting to murder the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they chose 40 young people of Quraysh to come to the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on that particular night to murder the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his bed. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given this revelation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Ali ibn Abi Talib to be in the bed of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose Ali to sleep in his bed. Now, if you think about this, this is a major sacrifice in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is these angry 40 men of Quraysh, if they don't find their target, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will get angry and they will more likely kill the person who was chosen to sleep in his bed, Ali ibn Abi Talib. And Ali accepted that mission without hesitation. And at that night he slept in the bed of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we saw how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the prophets, and he went on his hijrah and protected Ali ibn Abi Talib, who was not harmed that night. Another thing that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam trusted him with that night is to give the things that Quraysh trusted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with, which is called al-wada'a. Quraysh trusted, although Quraysh would know that they're announcing animosity against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but they know he was ameen, he was trustworthy. So they would keep things that they want to hide with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They would keep the treasures of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had these things, he asked Ali ibn Abi Talib, he trusted this young man, Ali ibn Abi Talib, who was around 18 to 20 years old at the time of Hijrah, to give this back to the people that trusted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with. Ali ibn Abi Talib immigrated after that to Al-Medina, after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the rest of the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes. trust anyone else. Because they wouldn't even trust their own family sometimes with these things. I mean, it was a society of ignorance. And sometimes there are things that are dealing in merchandise and money and all that, and they would want to keep it with the Prophet ﷺ, because they know that whenever they ask the Prophet ﷺ, it will be given back to them. And the Prophet ﷺ was the most trustworthy person. So Ali ibn Abi Talib, after he immigrated to Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making akhuwa, making one prophet, one sahabi, one companion, a brother to another companion. And Ali ibn Abi Talib was left without being joined with a brother, without having akhuwa with someone. And then he came to the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with teary eyes, and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, أخيت بين أصحابك ولم تأخي بيني وبين أحد." He said, "You made your companions brothers to each other, and you made me brother to none. You didn't make me, chose anybody to become my brother." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him his famous hadith. He said, "أنت أخي في الدنيا والآخرة." He said, "You are my brother. You are my brother. I saved you for me, Ali. You are my brother in this life, and you are my brother in the hereafter, in the Jannah, inshallah." And the Ali ibn Abi Talib, his life in Al-Madinah was filled with struggle like the life of the Sahaba. And he witnessed and he became a part of every major battle in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the battles of Al-Jihad, in Badr, in Uhud, and in every battle except one battle, which is the battle of Tabuk, which is the year of the hardship. And the reason for that is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made him his successor. He made him his the one that to run the affairs of Al-Madinah during the absence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Ali ibn Abi Talib came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was sad, and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, tukhlifuni fi nisa'i wa subyan." You leave me with women and children? He wants to go out. He wants to struggle and fight in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we see the wisdom of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how he dealt with his sahaba. And he said, "أما ترضى أن تكون بني بمنزلة هارون من موسى غير أنه لا نبي بعدي." He said, "Don't you like to be of me like Harun with Musa, like when Musa went to alayhi salam, went to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and talked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the mountain? He left Harun with the people of Israel." And he said, "Now I'm going to Al-Jihad and I'm leaving you in Medina. So don't you like to your position to be of me like Harun was of Musa alayhi salam?" But there will be no prophet. So people wouldn't misunderstand the hadith that Ali ibn Abi Talib is actually a prophet or some sort of other than the Sahaba. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "There is no prophet, there is no Nabi after me, there is no messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after me." One of the things that are also known about Ali is what happened on the day of Khaybar. We know in Khaybar, as we studied the battle of Khaybar, one fortress after another, and then we got to the hardest fortress in Khaybar. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam every day would give the banner, the leadership of the fighting force, to one sahabi. And he would give it to one after the other. And that siege lasted for 14 days. On the 13th day, he gave the banner to Abu Bakr. And the fortress was not conquered. And then the 14th day he gave it to Umar, and the fortress was not conquered. So the Sahaba got a little bit depressed and they got stressed. What is this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are we being defeated? And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَأَعْطِيَنَّ الرَّايَةَ غَدًا رَجُلًا يَفْتَحُ اللَّهُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ يُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "I will give the banner to a man tomorrow that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the victory to us with that man. And that man loves Allah and his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah and his Prophet love that man." So Umar ibn al-Khattab said, "Ma haddathatni nafsi bil-imara illa tilka al-layla." He said, "I did not love to become in a position of charge, be in charge, except that night. Because this is a man that loves Allah and his Prophet, and Allah and his Prophet loves him. I mean, this is the best that the Sahaba wanted. And then the next morning, the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gets up and he said, Aina Ali ibn Abi Talib? Where is Ali ibn Abi Talib? So they said, Ali is sick. The Sahaba said, Ali is sick and he has a disease in his eye. He has a problem with his eyes. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, bring him to me. So he brings Ali ibn Abi Talib and he put his saliva on his ears and he wipes his face, and with the miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ali is cured. And he leads the Muslim army in Khaybar in that day. And of his fighting, he goes and he pulls out the gate of that fortress with his hands and he makes it a shield. And he fights with that door and then with that gate of the fortress. And then when the battle is over, he puts the gate on the ground, and eight men tried to take it out and they couldn't. This was the power of Iman, the power of faith that was infused in Ali ibn Abi Talib at that day of Khaybar. One of the honors of Ali ibn Abi Talib, as is well known, is his marriage to Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fatima was the youngest daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was so beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When she was born, he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about her, Raihanatun ashumuha, she's like a flower that I would smell the scent of. He loved her so much. And the Sahaba noticed the love that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for Fatima. And when Fatima became of age, she became a young woman, the Sahaba wanted to get closer to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and marry Fatima. So Abu Bakr comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with an offer of marriage to Fatima. And Umar comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with an offer to marry Fatima. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, she's young. She's too young for both of them, who were older men. So the one of the servants in the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she goes to Ali, or one of the servants in general, goes to Ali and she asks him, Ali, why don't you propose? Why don't you come and ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to give you Fatima in marriage? And Ali said, لا أستطيع, I can't. ليس عندي ما أتزوج به. I have nothing to offer Fatima. I have nothing to offer the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to marry somebody in the status of Fatima radiallahu anha. And then that servant said, إذا ذهبت إلى النبي يزوجك. If you go to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will give you his daughter. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loves you, Ali, and he will not find anybody more qualified than you are to marry his daughter Fatima. So the story goes that Ali ibn Abi Talib went to the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he sat in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to ask for the hand of Fatima in marriage. But he, with all respect to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, could not speak. He could not say a word. He could not say to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I came here to ask to marry your daughter and I have nothing. He couldn't say these words. So the Prophet smiles at him and he said, مَا أَتَ بِكَ يَا عَلِي? What brought you here, Ali? And Ali didn't answer. And then the Prophet smiled, he said, لَعَلَّكَ جِئْتَ تَخْطُبُ فَاطِمَةً. Did you come to ask for Fatima, for engagement? And then Ali said, بَلَا يَسْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. That's what brought me. And Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, أَعِنْدَكَ مَا تَتَزَوَّجُ بِهِ. Do you have something to offer for Fatima? And Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, La wallahi, no wallahi, I have nothing. I don't have anything to offer you for Fatima. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Alaysa indaka dur? Don't you have a shield? I mean, you fight in war. Don't you have that shield that you have with you? And Ali said, yes, I have my shield. Yes, I عندي درع. ولكنه لا يساوي 400 درهم. He said, it's not worth 400 درهم, which is not really a fortune that you offer for the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But this is a lesson that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to teach this ummah, is that's not how you measure men, with how much they're worth and how much they have and how much money they can offer you. He knew what's in Ali, and that is more, a lot more than 400 dirham that he could offer for Fatima. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled at him and he said, أُزَوِّجُكَ بِهِ. I will give you Fatima with that mahar of shield. Now, this shield, of course, will stay. I mean, what is Fatima's going to do with the shield? It's nothing. It's going to give it to her husband. He's going to use that shield. So basically, that's the lesson that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there is nobody more honorable, and there is nobody more worthy of anything than Fatima. So it is a teacher, it's a lesson for those people who want to give their daughters in marriage to understand that it's not how much people offer money-wise, monetary, although it is the right for the woman to be honored with that, but that's not the whole story, and that's not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained with the mahar to be. Yes. Good question, I was coming to that. The marriage came either after Badr or after Uhud, and the scholar said it was either the second or third year after Hijrah, so it was in Al-Madinah. And it was either the second or third year after the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is no, there's no unanimous opinion with that. But it was in the early years of Hijrah.
How was Ali?
Ali was in his early 20s and Fatima was in her late teens. Late teens. It's not exactly known. She was either 17, 18 or 19, and Ali was 22, 23 years old at that time. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continues to teach Muslim in the marriage of Ali or Fatima how a Muslim house should be. And even on the day of wedding, on the night of their marriage, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to their house, and Ali and Fatima were sitting there, and he made wudu, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he put the water of his wudu on their faces. And then he said to Ali, take your hand and put her on her forehead. So Ali put his hand on the forehead of Fatima, and he taught him this dua of Al-Urs, of Laylat Al-Urs. And he said, say, Allahumma as'aluka khayraha wa khayra ma jabaltaha alayh wa a'udhu bika min sharriha wa sharri ma jabaltaha alayh. He said, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you her blessing, the good out of her, and whatever good He created her for, and to take refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of all evil that may come, and all the evil that she may be created with, subhanallah. And then he said, صَلِّيَا رَكْعَتَيْن. He taught him how to do the sunnah, the two rak'ah of Al-Urs, of the night of Al-Urs, how they pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala together, Ali and Fatima radiallahu anhuma. And Ansar narrated that when they went to the house of Ali on the night of wedding to prepare the house of Ali, and they found a piece of hasir. Hasir is basically a rug made of straw. It's a very rough rug to sit on, and a pillow filled with leaf, which is also a rough material that the pillows are made of. And that was the entire furniture of Fatima radiallahu anha and Ali ibn Abi Talib karramallahu wajha. Ali ibn Abi Talib married actually other women after Fatima. We know Fatima radiallahu anha died 6 months after the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ali lived many years after that. We know Ali ibn Abi Talib lived about 30 years after the death of Fatima radiallahu anha. So he had more marriages. And one of the women that he married was Asma bint Umays. Asma bint Umays, subhanallah, this lady of Islam, she married some of the big sahaba. She was married to his brother Ja'far ibn Abi Talib. Then Ja'far was killed in the battle of Mu'ta, and she married Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. She was a wife to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and she stayed with him until he died as a khalifa. And then after that, she married Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. Ali ibn Abi Talib history books report that he has 14 children, 14 males and 19 females. So Ali ibn Abi Talib has many children that are known, but obviously the most famous are the ones that are the of him and Fatima radiallahu anha. And those are Al-Hasan, Al-Husayn radiallahu anhum, and Zainab and Umm Kulthum radiallahu anhum jami'an. But his other children, it is known that he has named, and the names of the children of Ali are very interesting, and they are actually an evidence against those who say that Ali ibn Abi Talib had a problem with this Sahabi and that Sahabi. So just listen to the names of the children of Ali ibn Abi Talib and you will know what I'm talking about. Abu Bakr is one of his children. Umar is another one of his children. Uthman is the third one of his children. Muhammad, Muhammad al-Awsat, two Muhammads that he has. Ja'far, Yahya, Auf, and many other children. He has Khadija, Maymuna, Ummu Salama, and Fatima. He had the names of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all of them. So that also is an evidence that he had love. I mean, he gave his daughter Umm Kulthum in marriage to Umar ibn al-Khattab and named one of his children after Umar ibn al-Khattab. So there is no way that these men were not in brotherly love with each other. Yes. Jazakallah khair. Kulthum bint Ali and Fatima, the youngest daughter of Ali and Fatima radiallahu anhum, was married to Umar ibn al-Khattab. There was a big age difference, yes. But yes, yet he gave his daughter in marriage to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhum.
It wasn't an issue at that time, the age difference.
No, as brother said, age difference at that time was not a big issue. But yet we know that if that would be an issue with the family, then the Prophet ﷺ would say, like he said to Abu Bakr and Umar when they asked for marriage to Fatima, he said, no, the age difference is too big. So if that would be a problem in the marriage accord, it all depends on the situation, then that would be also allowable. So this is all to teach us really how to deal with these things and how not to make our daughters and our sisters marry into an unequal marriage of any kind. Some of the known things about Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu is he was known as the judge of Islam. He was al-Qadi. He was known with his justice and his knowledge of the science of al-Qadha. And some of the history books report some incidents about how fair Ali ibn Abi Talib was. This is an al-Tabarani, and this is story, and I found this study very nice, very interesting. It will need you to pay attention because there is some math involved, some algebra issues involved in this judgment. Two men sat to have dinner together, and one of them brought five loaves of bread, and the other person brought three loaves of bread. And they sat together to join their food and to have dinner. But then a third person came who had no bread at all with him. He had no food, and he asked them if he can share their food with them, and he will pay him for their food after that. So they sat all together and they finished the eight loaves of bread. And they ate almost equally. Nobody ate more than the other. So the man that didn't have bread took eight dirhams. There were eight loaves of bread. He took eight dirhams and he gave it to the two men. And he said, divide it amongst you. This is for what I ate with you. This is the price that I'm paying. So the man that had the five loaves of bread, that brought the five loaves, told the one that brought the three loaves that I should take five dirham, and you take three dirham. One dirham for each loaf of bread. The guy that had the three, he said, no, we share 50-50. You take four and I take four. So they went to Ali ibn Abi Talib in judgment. So they sat down with Ali ibn Abi Talib and they offered their complaints. So Ali ibn Abi Talib said, the one that brought the five loaves of bread should take seven dirham, and the one that brought the three loaves of bread should take only one dirham. The man was stunned. He didn't accept three dirham, and he went to Ali, and Ali said, you take only one. This is my judgment. So he asked Ali, how come? How did you reach this judgment? He said, Ali, see this wisdom and this judgment, and how subhanAllah Ali was not he didn't have a high school diploma and learned algebra, but he had the fitna, the intelligence of a Muslim and qadi and a judge. He said, there were three of you and there were eight loaves. So three by eight is what? It's 24. So he said, each loaf is three shares that was divided amongst you. to make the math easier, he said, this is how you do it. This each loaf is three shares. Each one of you, since you ate equally, must have eaten eight shares. Eight one-third of a loaf. So eight by three is 24 shares. You finished the 24 shares. And he said to the man that brought the three loaves, he said, you brought then nine shares, and you ate eight. So you only gave out one share. And the one that brought five shares also ate eight shares, but he brought 13. So he brought 15. So 5 by 3 is 15 shares. So he said, out of the 8 shares that third man ate and paid for, you brought only one share and the other one brought 7. So you take 1 dirham and the other one takes 7 dirham. And this is, and the man said, Wallahi radit. Hey, wallah, I'm satisfied with this judgment. This is fair. He thought 3 was not fair, but when Ali explained it to him, he knew what 1 dirham was only fair for him. But this just to give you an idea about how the judgment of Ali ibn Abi Talib was. Another thing that Ali ibn Abi Talib was known of is the knowledge of al-balagha and the language of Arabic. He knew the balagha, the language of Arabic literature, and he knew the grammar of Arabic. And if you go to read and study Arabic grammar or the science of al-nahu, one of the main names that come out is a scholar called Abu al-Aswad al-Du'ali. If you go into the roots of this ilm in Arabic, the name of Abu al-Aswad al-Du'ali, and Abu al-Aswad came to Ali ibn Abi Talib. And it is known that he said, and this is narrated on the grandson of Abu al-Aswad al-Du'ali, he said, my grandfather said to us that he went to Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib, and he said, my grandfather said, I saw Amir al-Mu'mineen thinking. He was thinking and he was concerned about something. And he said, فِيمَا تُفَكَّرْ يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, what are you thinking about, Ali? And Ali said, إِنِّي سَمِعْتُ بِبَلَدِكُمْ هَذَا لَحْنَا. Now, Abu al-Aswad was in al-Iraq. And Ali said, I heard that the language, and we know Ali, during the events of his Khilafah, went from Al-Medina to Al-Kufa, to Al-Iraq. Now the people of Al-Iraq were under Persia. Not all of them were well-versed in the language of Arabic. And yet they still had to read the Qur'an and learn the Qur'an and learn the Hadith and deal. And he said, I heard that there is a dialect evolving out there, dialect that is not known in Arabic. And he was afraid that this Arabic will dissolve, will start changing shape, like what happens to most languages. But it's very important for the Muslims to preserve Arabic for understanding of Quran. So he said, فَأَرَدْتُ أَنْ أَصْنَعَ كِتَابًا فِي أُصُولِ الْعَرَبِيَّةِ, I wanted to put a book for the rules of the language. Now, Arabs before, they didn't have rules. They didn't know that this is fa'il and this is maf'ul. They just knew that they knew how to speak by just the way they learn it. And they would send their children to the desert to mingle with the tribes of Arabia, and they come back to Mecca and Al-Medina and they know Arabic well. There is no schools to say these are the rules and here's what you, there was nothing like that. But Ali noticed that there is a need for that later on. SubhanAllah, if that didn't happen, then I can assure you that Arabic-speaking people in Arabic countries wouldn't know how to speak Arabic today. Because when you grow up in an Arabic-speaking country, you really have to learn grammar. Because otherwise you will not really know how to interpret and understand what you're reading. So he said, I sent to Abu al-Aswad al-Du'ali a paper, and he said, right. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, al-kalimatu ism wa fi'lun wa harf. He started putting the rules. Ali ibn Abi Talib is the one that put the initial rules of grammar, of the science of nahu. He said, words in Arabic are noun, verb, and a proposition. And then he started defining them. He said, al-ismu ma anba'a 'an al-musamma wal-fi'lu ma anba'a 'an harakati al-musamma wal-harfu ma anba'a 'an laysa shay'in laysa bi-ismin aw fi'l. He started defining those to Abu al-Aswad al-Du'ali, and he gave Abu al-Aswad al-Du'ali the essence how to start this science of al-nahw. And he gave them that there are things that are apparent and disapparent, and etc. And I don't want to say the whole thing, but it's one of the accomplishment of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu is to establish this nahu, is to establish the science of grammar in the Arabic language. One of the things that was known of Ali ibn Abi Talib was his wisdom, as we said. He would have words that are today in most treasures of wisdom are used and reference to Ali ibn Abi Talib, like words that are went into as a proverb. He would say, radiallahu an, التوفيق خير قائد وحسن الخلق خير قرين والعقل خير صاحب والأدب خير ميراث ولا وحشة أشد من العجب. He said, التوفيق is given, the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is given the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do the right thing, is the best leader. Is the best leader into action. And وَحُسْنُ الْخُلُقِ and good manners is your best friend. If you want to make friends, if you want to attract people to be your friend, just be, have good manners. That's what it means. وَالْعَقْلُ خَيْرُ صَاحِبِ and your best companion is your intellect, is your mind, is to have a pure mind and good mind. Wal adab khayru mirath, and the best thing that you give in inheritance, that you basically is good manners, is adab. Adab is how to deal with people and politely and respectfully. And then he said there is no loneliness more than arrogance. That arrogant people will have no friends, no real friends. And that is the loneliness of them. And this is one of the wisdom of Ali ibn Abi Talib. And then he was asked, what is generosity? Tell us about generosity. And he said, مَا كَانَ مِنْهُ ابْتِدَاءُ فَأَمَّا مَا كَانَ عَنْ مَسْأَلَ فَحَيَاءٌ وَتَكَرُّمٌ. He said, generosity is not when people come and ask you for something and you give it to them. That's not being generous. This just sometimes being embarrassed not to give. And it is some sort of good manners. But he said, real generosity is to give before you're asked. So when you see someone in need, it's to give them before he even asks you. And this is how he defined generosity. And then other things that he said, جَزَاءُ الْمَعْصِيَةِ الْوَهْنُ فِي الْعِبَادَةِ that the punishment for sin for the Muslims is to be lax in their worship. Is they don't, when a Muslim makes sin and is punished by Allah, is they don't worship as good as they used to do. وَالضِّيقُ فِي الْمَعِيشَةِ is they will become a little bit poorer. وَالنَّقْسُ فِي اللَّذَّةِ is they don't enjoy things. And he said, they said, what is that? They don't enjoy things. He said, لَا يَنَالُ شَهْوَ حَلَالٍ إِلَّا جَاءَهُ مَا يُنَغِّصُ فِيهَا. He said, when a Muslim is living in a state of sin, then whenever he wants to do something even halal and to enjoy something halal, then something comes and disrupts it and spoil it for him. And the cure for that is to avoid sin and to stay in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then one of the things that are narrated of him is he was given the recommendation for Al-Hasan on his bed of death. And he said to Al-Hasan, يا بني احفظ عني أربعا فأربعا. I'm gonna give you four and four recommendations. Keep it for me. Memorize them. And Al-Hasan said, وما هن يا أبتي رضي الله عنهما. He said, أغنى الغنى العقل. The best richness, the best thing that will make you rich is your عقل, is your mind, is your intellect. وأكبر الفقر الحمق. The worst thing that will make you very poor is the idiocy, is the ignorance. وَأَوْحَشُ الْوَحْشَ again, this same recommendation that he said, the most thing that will make you more lonely is arrogance. So don't be arrogant. وَأَكْرَمُ الْكَرَمُ حُسْنُ الْخُلُقِ and the best of generosity is to be good in manners to other people, if you're good to people. And he said, what the other four recommendations? He said, four, don't befriend. Don't be friends with these four types of people. الْأَحْمَقُ the idiot, the stupid person. فَإِنَّهُ يُرِيدُ أَن يَنْفَعَكَ فَيَضُرَّكَ they, even if they want to benefit you, they will harm you. Because they just don't have it. And then وَالْكَذَّابُ and the liar. Don't befriend to a liar. فإنه يقرب عليك البعيد ويبعد عنك القريب. The liar will bring people that are not really truly truthful to you, they'll bring them closer to you, and those who are around you that love you, he will send them away from you with the lying. And then he said, البخيل, don't be friend to a miser or a stingy person. And then he said, فإنه يقعد عنك أحوج ما تكون إليه. Then the minute that you are in most need for that friend, he will be away from you. وَإِيَّاكَ وَمُصَادَقَةَ الْفَاجِرِ. And don't be friend to al-fajr, to the sinner, to the oppressor. فَإِنَّهُ يَبِيعُكَ بِالتَّافَةِ. He will sell you out, the sinner. So that was one of the things that he had. And Ad-Darraj reports, narrates the story of Ali ibn Abi Talib. It's very famous. We know that there was a main, there was a famous judge in the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab, and his name was Shuraih. Shuraih al-Qadi. He was a judge that was appointed initially by Umar ibn al-Khattab, and he remained in his post until Uthman, and then Ali ibn Abi Talib became Amir al-Mu'mineen. And the story goes in the reference of Ad-Darraj that after Suffin, after the battle of Suffin, Ali ibn Abi Talib missed a shield. And when he went back to Al-Kufa, he saw that there's a Jewish person that has the shield, his shield, that he knows, Ali, that belongs to him. So he said to the Jewish man, he said, "Ad-dir'u dir'i lam abi' wa lam ahab. I didn't sell you this and I didn't give you this as a gift. This is my shield. Give it back to me." And the Jewish man, he said, "Dir'i wa fi yadi. It is my shield and it's in my house. It's in my hand." And Ali ibn Abi Talib said, "Let's go to the judge. Let's complain to the judge." Now, he's Amir al-Mu'mineen. I mean, he is the governor. He's the one in charge of the, but yet still, if there's a conflict, then they have to both go and to sit in front of the judge. So they went to the judge Shuraih, and Shuraih said, and in one narration said, "Qul ya Amir al-Mu'mineen," and in another said, "Qul ya Abul Hasan." Say Abul Hasan or say Amir al-Mu'mineen. So Abul Hasan, Amir al-Mu'mineen, said, "This is my shield, and this man, this Jewish man, took it, and I didn't sell it to him, and I didn't give it to him." And the Jewish man, he said, "Aish taqul ya Yahudi? What do you say, Jewish man?" And the man said, the Jewish man said, "This is my shield, and it's in my possession. وفي يدي, درعي وفي يدي." So Shuraih looked at Ali and he said, "ألك بينة? Do you have evidence?" البينة على من الدعى, the rule of fiqh, that if you are claiming something, then you have to present the evidence. واليمين على من أنكر, and then if you deny it, then you have to give the yameen, the oath. And Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali said, "Yes, Qanbar wal-Hasan yashhadan." Qanbar is his servant, and al-Hasan is his son. He said, "My servant and my son will come and witness." Now this is al-Hasan ibn Ali as a witness. I mean, the love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Shuraih said, "Shahadatul ibni la tajuzu lil-ab." A son cannot witness for his father, because they will be a biased testimony. So no, that is rejected. So said Ali, "Rajulun min ahli al-Jannah." Ali is arguing. He said, "Al-Hasan, la tajuzu shahadatu. Rajulun min ahli al-Jannah is a person of paradise. You know he is. And you're denying his testimony?" And Shuraih said, "This is what it is, and the judgment is against Ali, and the shield stays with that man." And Ali became angry. So Shuraih said, "Why are you angry, Ya Abul Hasan? You know what I did was the right thing. You know what I did." He said, "I'm not angry because you judged against me. I'm angry because you were not fair when you called me Abul Hasan and Amir al-Mu'mineen, and you called this man the Jewish man. This is when you went wrong. It's not because your judgment was against me." So that Jewish man was standing there and listening to this conversation and seeing this judgment, and he said, "Amir al-Mu'mineen قدمني إلى قاضيه وقاضيه قضى عليه." He said, "This is Amir al-Mu'mineen. He takes me to his judge, and then his judge judged against him." I said, "أشهد أن هذا هو الحق." I witness this is the right thing. These people are not normal. This is not something that people, normal people do. He said, "وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله وأن الدرع درعك يا علي. And أشهد, he became a Muslim and said, this shield is indeed your shield, يا علي ابن أبي طالب. علي ابن أبي طالب said in one of his famous words, he said, الفقيه, who is, he's trying to define who is الفقيه, who is the one that has knowledge in Islam and religion. He said, الفقيه كل الفقيه من لم يقنط الناس من رحمة الله ولم يرخص لهم في معاصي الله ولم يؤمنهم من عذاب الله. He said, those who are real, have real fiqh in Islam, those who do not make people despair of the mercy of Allah, don't just every time say, you're going to hell, you're going to hell, you're going to hell, and there is no hope, and no, I said, this is not fiqh. And the other thing he said, and at the same time, they don't make the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala something that is allowable. They have to explain to people what is not allowed in the disobedience of Allah. وَلَمْ يُؤَمِّنْهُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِ اللَّهِ. And don't tell people that they will not, the punishment of Allah will not reach them, or they are exonerated from the punishment of hell. So that, to keep that balance that the Sahaba knew, that there is the paradise and you always hope for it, and there is the fire and you always escape from it and trying to avoid it. And وَلَمْ يَدَعِ الْقُرْآنَ رَغْبَةً عَنْهُ إِلَىٰ غَيْرِهِ. And they don't leave the Qur'an and go to another source of judgment and another source of spiritual help. لِأَنَّهُ لَا خَيْرَ فِي عِبَادَةٍ لَا عِلْمَ فِيهَا. Worship without knowledge is not good. وَلَا عِلْمٍ لَا فَهْمَ مَعَ. And knowledge without understanding is not good. وَلَا قِرَاءَةٍ لَا تَدَبُّرَ فِيهَا. And reciting of Qur'an that you don't understand, that you don't heed the meaning of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you is also not good. And then he also said in Ibn Asakir, that is narrated on Ibn Asakir, مَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يُنصِفِ النَّاسَ مِنْ نَفْسِهِ فَلْيُحِبَّ لَهُمْ مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِهِ. Who wants to be fair with people, and this is we hear the echo of that in one hadith of the this is an echo of one hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, those who wants to be fair with people, they have to to like for people what they like for themselves. This is the same thing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, la yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsihi, that nobody will become a faithful, a full Muslim, unless they love for their brothers or sisters what they love for themselves. So, this introduction is for the life of Ali ibn Abi Talib and some of the virtues of Ali ibn Abi Talib. And the Khilafah of Ali ibn Abi Talib happened after the death of Uthman ibn Affan, after the murder of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. And we studied that in the last session, subhanAllah, how Uthman ibn Affan was murdered, and how he was killed in the year of, that is 35 years after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ali ibn Abi Talib was given the bay'ah after that in al-Medina, and his khilafah lasted about 4 years and 9 months. During the khilafah of Ali ibn Abi Talib, it was a time of turmoil and tribulation, and it was some of the most difficult times in Islamic history that we saw the Sahaba facing each other on battlefield. And the Muslims lost many of the main Sahaba around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in that, there was many different opinions of scholars about what to do in the studying of those particular events. Now, during the time of Uthman ibn Affan, as we studied, it was a little bit, although it was very hard and very heavy on our hearts to hear what happened to Al-Khalifa Uthman ibn Affan, but it was mostly agitators and people outside the circle of the Sahaba that understand the stature of Uthman ibn Affan and the rank of the other Sahaba, and they have total misunderstanding of the events that happened during the life of Uthman ibn Affan. The life, that the events that happened during the Khilafah of Ali ibn Abi Talib were a little different, because many of the great Sahaba were involved in that. Most of the scholars, the true scholars of this religion, that they followed the what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِذَا ذُكِرَ أَصْحَابِي فَأَمْسِكُوا. When my sahaba, when my companions are being mentioned in an improper way, in harmful way, then don't say anything. Don't participate in that. So, and when you see in the books like Ibn Sa'd, in the book of At-Tabaqat, that the entire events of Al-Fitna is mentioned in about half a page. Because they don't want to get involved into details that, number one, are useless. They don't benefit us in many ways. But most of the scholars would mention some of the things and some of the misconceptions because they have to clarify those and to rebut, to answer back some of the accusations that were given improperly to the Sahaba. And inshallah, if you pray for me for guidance, that's what I elect you to do, is not to go over these events in details about what happened and how went what and who did what and why the Sahaba. It's to just clarify some of the misconceptions about this fitna and some of the attacks that are unjustified against some of the main Sahaba. And some of these issues, inshallah, will be clarified in the next session, and then inshallah we will move on in our study of the Sahaba and this fitna, and just to always try to benefit from this study and take the bright view and the light that we really in most need to follow. We are not in need now. Our need is not to go over the conflicts and trying to find out who's right and who's wrong. Because the Prophet ﷺ said about Al-Hasan, said they were both mu'mineen. Ali ibn Abi Talib was asked, those who are fighting you, are they kuffar? Are they kafara? And he said, A'udhu billah. No, they are not kafara. And then the man asked Ali, he said, are they munafiqeen? Are they hypocrites? And Ali said, no, they are not hypocrites. They are believers. They said, what are they? The man, if they're not kafara or munafiqeen, why are we fighting them? Ali said, ikhwanuna bagaw alayna. They are our brothers who transgressed upon us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that this can happen because He gave the solution for it. فَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا فَقَاتِلُوا الَّتِي تَبْغِي حَتَّى تَفِيَ إِلَى أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. If one group of believers can transgress against another group of believers, but they are both believers, and they are both testified for by belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about the Hassan, who finally solved this problem of the fitna, and he said, إِنَّ ابْنِ هَذَا يُصْلِحُ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَيْنَ طَائِفَتَيْنِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. He was talking about Al-Hassan, and he said, with this son of mine, Al-Hassan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring peace between two groups of the mu'min. So they're both are mu'min in the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is not our position to speak about this and to mention any of the Sahaba with harm. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that all of them are better in status and in rank than anybody that would follow them. Especially when you speak of events like Al-Jamal, like the Battle of Al-Jamal, when on one side you have two people that are given the glad tiding of paradise, as Zubayr ibn al-Awwam and Talha ibn Ubaidillah. The other side you have Ali ibn Abi Talib. Now, all these people are promised paradise. Unfortunately, we are not. So if we think ill of any party, I don't think we're in a position of judgment. But there is some misconceptions about some of these battles that inshallah will clarify in next session, and we'll go on. Yes. Al-Hasan ibn Ali, yes. Hassan ibn Ali, who is, by the way, the fifth Khalifa in Islam. Now, many people, when they count the Khalifa, they will say Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, Muawiyah. And they skip 6 months, where Al-Hasan ibn Ali was the fifth Khalifa of in this Islam.
In this 40-year period that the Prophet took about the Khalifa. He said the Khalifa would last 40 years.
And he will complete that Khilafah, obviously. So anyway, inshallah, we will go into some of the events next week because we're running out of time. Jazakumullah khair. And if you have any questions or comments, jazakallah.
I think one interesting each act according to the knowledge he has.
Right. And this is a very important comment to understand. We'll go over that more. That they both saw the same problem, but they came up with two different solutions to it. And they each one made an ijtihad about how to approach this problem. We will see that the main issue really resulted from the murder of Uthman ibn Affan and how to retaliate for that murder. Yes. And that's the initial... And Ali had one position, and the rest of some of the other Sahaba had a different position. And both of them had very right opinions and very good argument about what they presented. But subhanAllah, that's what the people that tried to take advantage. And we will see how that happened very clearly, especially in a battle like Al-Jamal, that they can put that poison and fuel the fire and create a problem that is not to the extent that it should go to. Yes, sir.
I know Ali radiallahu anhu had a lot of also many values. Of course,
by the way, means to give the most meaning with the fewest words. That is really what balagha means. It means to give the most possible array of meaning and wisdom in the fewest possible words, and Ali was a master of that, radiallahu anhu. You had an announcement, brother, so inshallah we will conclude with that. Subhanaka rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala mursaleen, wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.